This is the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Looking to talk to Jay Will here in a minute. We'll get some calls as well. But Bart, just I just saw something very interesting. Some breaking news.
Can't wait.
Now, there was always going to be some concern, or like there was some thought about Theo Epstein and his future with the Cubs because he had a year left on his deal. By the way, $10 million a year.
Lame duck.
So there was some thought that maybe he was ready to pass on the baton to Jed Hoyer. Now it seems like that is definitely going to happen. The Cubs have announced that Epstein will step down as president of baseball operations in November, late November 20th. So
what did Buster say?
You're right.
What did my man Buster say? He said on the stage, was he with us here or was he with us on when we were filling in?
Were we on the national show or were we here when he said this?
Well, nevertheless, what did he say? He said, you know, a lot of people are cutting you know, cheese off the taco. Right. They're taking cheese off the taco because they're losing money. So you say he was making $10
million? Yeah, the year left word, to 10
in,
million.
In the words of Cohen, please do not take my pocket change. What are we talking about? Oh, please do not take my... Listen, is he worth $10 million? Absolutely, because all he does is build champions. So you know what? We're trying to build a champion here in New York with the Mets. Hey, go ahead and get him. He's like the Jerry West of baseball.
They cut 100 people from their baseball operations.
See what I'm saying?
It pays
to have money when nobody else does. That $10 million would be a discount when we back to a regular world and everybody print money again. That'd be a discount. And guess what? When the dust settles, you know, the Mets have an opportunity to have one of the best young executives, or considered the best young executive. Like, who would you take? Who has a better resume? Theo Epstein or Cashman?
Well, Theo's taken two places where they've never won, and he's made them win.
So I ask you again.
And I think it's pretty simple.
So if the Mets are doing that.
I think what Theo has done is historic in two of the most beloved baseball markets there is, in Boston and Chicago. With two teams, the Cubs were always the lovable Cubs that could never win, and the Red Sox were just always a sad sack team that always had bad luck. And both of them, he turned into champions. In fact, the Red Sox, what he was able to do was turn them into multiple champions. Red Sox fans wanted one title. They got multiple. The Cubs got one, but I'm like if you're a Knicks fan, you're a Jets fan, you'll take one right now, right?
Exactly.
Cubs fans were waiting 100. They waited 100 years for one.
When it's 100 in sports, you got to say 100.
100.
A whole 100?
100.
100 a long time.
So if you're the if you're Cohen and if you're Alderson. Now I know it seems like with Alderson there, would Theo want to take over, but Alderson makes it sound like that he would hire somebody to be like a president of baseball operations.
Man, Sandy's old, man. Sandy chilling, man. Sandy want to come in. He want to delegate. You know what I'm saying?
Well, Sandy's going to overlook everything, the business side, everything else. So that's interesting news to keep an eye on, certainly out of Chicago. So anyways, Jay Will joins us now. And
Jay Weezy, what's up, baby? It's your time to shine, man. What a week already. What's your first take, man? What's your first take with all this craziness going on in the world? We're going to let you start with what the hell you want to start with.
Shoot, man. Look, if I'm in the NBA draft, I'm trying to trade down. Like, I'm not walking away tonight looking at all these draftees and be like, hey, I'm going to trust that one of these guys can be the savior of my organization. I think you're going to have a lot of teams at the top of the draft that are going to be waiting for other teams literally to tell them what they're willing to give up for one of these picks, because I don't know if a lot of people will want to say he's our guy that we can really build the franchise around. And you know what happens a lot of time, Bart? Like, now, you know this too, being an NBA, a lot of times we end up getting a lot of high draft picks because there is value in the draft. A lot of times, man, you get guys who are first, second, third, fourth picks in the draft, and you're like, all right, well, you're really not making that huge of an impact, you know, and they don't turn out to be stars. I'm not sure how many superstars we have in this draft.
So tell me this, Jay. So tell me this, Jay. We know that the odds are that there are at least one. It's a Kawhi Leonard. It's somebody there that's going to dare to be great. And could the Knicks finally find a guy that may not seem like he's a guy, but that can become the guy?
So, Bart,
and if it is, who's that guy in here?
Yeah, I'd be love to pick your brain on this too, Alan. Look, I've had the luxury, just because all I watch is hoops all day, every day, to watch Obi Toppin play. Now, if we had March Madness last year, I think it would have been, you know, March Madness puts a lot of people on the scene. Like we had too much stuff going on as related to the pandemic, the season shutting down, everything happening, sports calendars are all jumbled up this year. But if we had March Madness last year, we would have been talking about how special Obi Toppin is. And I've seen like a comparison to Amari Stoudemire. I actually think he's a little bit more skilled than Amari Stoudemire. But he's one of those guys that's coming up the draft board pretty fast. I'm curious to see if he'll be around by then. But Obi Toppin would be the one guy I would mess with, Bart.
So I agree. See, that's the name that I just keep. Look, I'll tell you what, Jay. I think this is the draft for
Any 30 out?
That's what I mean. This is the draft for the older players, right? Don't you think? If you don't have a guy with star potential as a one and done, wouldn't you want the glue play right away? Insert him into whatever you've got on your roster, and he could be a rotational player, 21 or 22 year old. Would you agree with that?
It's like Tyrese Halliburton, right? I mean, like, it's saying, like, a guy who's a little bit older, understands how to play. Like, man, like, there's nobody, and I understand everything that's being said about LaMelo Ball, and I think LaMelo Ball does have really good upside. But there's nobody I look at, I'm like, damn. Like, Anthony Edwards, maybe. Maybe a little bit. Like, he's kind of on the
issues from the neck up, though. That's the, you know, right? He's got those neck up issues that you worry about.
Yeah.
So this gets into my point, Al, right? Like, if he's the one guy that kind of jumps off the page, but then you're worried about, you know, what comes along with that, if you're Minnesota, if you're Rosas, are you going to sit there and say, I have the veteran leadership on my team to make sure that I can surround him with people that keep his head on straight? Or are you looking at your roster saying, man, like, we've gone through a lot. Like, Cat lost his mom. We lost Jimmy Butler. Jimmy and Cat clashed. We brought in D'Angelo Russell, came from Golden State, wasn't sure he really wanted to be here. Him and Kat are friends, but they're younger. Is this the right core for a guy like Anthony Edwards to succeed with? I'm not necessarily sure with that. That's why I'm like, you know, can you hold somebody hostage for Anthony Edwards? Maybe some other valuable draft picks that you can utilize in future picks and get a veteran presence in there to help out your young stars blossom and continue to grow into the team they need to be. I have a tendency to move more in the latter direction than I do in the former.
Let me ask you now about what's happening right now. The draft's tomorrow. You'll be on the coverage tomorrow night, obviously. But the trade season, which opened yesterday, already has made a couple of headlines. Chris Paul is the first one I'll ask you about. Is just his move to Phoenix. Is it a surprise to you that that's a place he'd want to go? And what impact do you think it has on a young Suns roster that caught everybody's attention in the bubble?
Well, I mean, just looking at it recently, it's not like Chris Paul was like, hey, I have, you know, 29 options and let me just pick one and make it work. Like, it had to work out for both sides, right? So I'd be curious. I wish I could be a fly on the wall to see, you know, if the Clippers were part of that conversation in lieu of CP3, you know, what Sam Presti, the GM of the Oklahoma City Thunder, would have wanted from the Clippers, and if the Clippers were willing to give that stuff up. So that's number one. Does it jump off the page for me that CP3 goes to Phoenix? Not necessarily, but at the end of the day, as much as we all want to see guys like CP3 win a championship, I like the fact that he's doing it his way. And maybe CP3's way isn't to partner up with a Kawhi and a PG. Maybe isn't to partner up with a LeBron or AD. You know, I like that CP3 sometimes is different. And I like that CP3 still feels like he can bring big value. Not like value come off the bench value. Like, no, I want to be a starter and I still want to play. So at the end of the day, Is it the move that, you know, are people going to say it's a sexy move? Yeah, he's going to win a chip. No, but it's kind of the CP3 move.
Mm-hmm. That's closer to home for him, too. I think that was probably a bigger priority than chasing a ring at this point in his career.
Family.
So when you come about this, I'm looking at the moves that the Bucks made. Now, was Drew Holiday made so that he can match up with Jimmy Butler, put two pit bulls against each other?
And I've already talked about Alan, you don't like the move, Alan. No. You don't like it, do you?
I just don't feel, you know what, it's not that I don't like it. I just feel like if you're the Bucks, You needed to make a move that would be a little bit, that would resonate a little more. That would say, oh, that, all right, they're in. Like, they're all in now. You had that guy. Like, it's like when the Nets with Jason Kidd, when they got Vince Carter, it's like, okay. You know, like that, that's one of those moves that it resonates. This move was sort of, okay, you know, it's two nice players, but nobody's going to mistake them for being superstars. It's still Giannis, who's a 1A, and a, now it's a bunch of guys who are still sort of 2As. I don't even call them 1Bs.
Okay, so Alan, let me ask you this, Alan. If James Harden does not go to Brooklyn, yeah, right, would you like the matchup of Jrue Holiday on Kyrie Irving?
Yeah, it's a good matchup.
One of the best two-way guards in the league.
Absolutely.
When he's healthy.
Yeah, no, you just added the key phrase, when healthy.
Okay, understood.
Yeah.
I sit there and I watch Drew in New Orleans, and yeah, they were in a playoff race. Yeah, the season stopped. But I never got the sense watching Drew, like, Drew was really, really happy in New Orleans with that team. There were a lot of stuff going on between Brandon Ingram. Like, was he the guy? Was Zion the guy?
Yeah.
JJ wasn't getting enough touches. You know, is Zion hurt? What's going on with Lonzo Ball? I'm playing off the ball. You know, now Etwan Moore's there. It's just a lot of different things going on. A very young, young team. So I look at Drew and I look at Bogdanovich. Like, if James Harden doesn't come to Brooklyn, I'm like, okay, like, that's your Eastern Conference Finals. Like, is that Milwaukee versus Boston? Is that Milwaukee versus, you know, Brooklyn? Is that, but you're, Jay, don't right you get, there.
My
I don't
point
know if
is,
anything jumps off the page, but you're still there.
Yeah, you're still there. Okay, but you were already there. Like, I'm talking about,
yeah, but you're
trying to keep
you're
a
not,
guy. You're trying to
you're
convince
not there with
somebody
Eric Bledsoe,
to stay.
Though, Alan. You're not there with Eric Bledsoe.
But they like, were. They won 60 games. They were a good enough team.
Are we talking about playoff Bledsoe, though? Or are we talking about regular season Bledsoe? Because I feel like those are two different players.
What do we know about Jrue Holiday, playoff Jrue Holiday? What do we know?
I think Jrue Holiday has a lot more in his bag than Eric Bledsoe has. And I can say that with conviction. Like, I watch Bogdanovich play in Sac. He has a lot in his bag. I don't think you're getting, I mean, look, you give up some of your bench with Dante DiVincenzo. Yeah, I hear you. But that starting five is a legit five, man. And I think you can go find ancillary pieces to do your work off the bench. I like the unit for Milwaukee. I actually think they could be a better team than what they were last year. And I'm talking about a team built for the playoffs, not built for regular season success, but for the playoffs.
Okay. Did they lose Robin Lopez? Is that something they have to figure out? Because I think he opted out for $5 million, right?
Yeah, he still got Brooke, though. I mean, he's the guy that can...
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Robin, okay. I always forget which one's the horrible twin.
No, yeah, it's the one you just made mention of.
He's his defensive.
The one with the curly hair. He's
all right,
he's
but let's
like the
but let's get to it with Jay because we're late in the interview already. We got to get to now again. You mentioned it, so let's go deeper into this. James Harden to Brooklyn, and as Woj reported, it's what he wants. It's what they've talked about, and now it's something we wait and see. Do the Rockets actually try to make the deal? We saw them make a Covington deal, which they got two firsts, which is that's mind-blowing. They got two firsts for Robert Covington.
I was shocked by that.
Yeah, I was too. So is that a sign that they're already ready to start making moves? But the point I'm going to ask you is this something? Let's go from the Brooklyn side first. This puts them all in for a title. If they can somehow pull off this move, compare those three on the same team to other big threes that we've seen in this generation, in this, I guess, the last, 10 years or 12 years or so. Where would you put them, and where would you put the number on ability to win a championship from 1 to 10?
I mean, to answer your second part of the question, 10.
Yeah.
10. To answer your first question, I mean, I thought the best big three that I've ever seen was KD, Steph, and Clay. Now, I mean, this is subjective, Alan. Pick what you deem to be more stylistic to how you want to win. When I think about KD, Steph, and Clay, like, that's in the continuity type system of how they play, right? That system that they have up there in Golden State is different. It feels like the ball moves. It doesn't stick. I think one of the things that becomes interesting as it relates to Brooklyn is this is the most dynamic mixtape like team we've ever seen in the history of the game.
And they're both two-way players too, right? Because it's not like they can't create off the dribble by themselves, but also they all can be spot-up shooters as well. That's what I love
about
it.
Everybody got duffel bags of millions of dollars. They got full bags. Everybody on that team has bags on bags on bags. Like, that's what their offensive repertoire is. And if there's a team that gets you hyped, this is a polished version of street ball in Brooklyn. And that's what's exciting about it. Now, how does it actually work?
Yeah.
Alan, I think you need to have James Harden at the point. I think you have to move Kyrie Irving off the ball.
Ooh, good luck. Steve Nash has to convince him to do that? Like, who convinces that?
But I think you have to get them all to buy into a different style of play.
That's the only way
it will work. Right. You cannot bring it. Mike D'Antoni, great for spacing, but if you're Steve Nash, if you're able to pull this off,
you have to say
we are going to a Golden State style like a play with the roster that we have.
But this is the thing. So would this be the first time that we saw a D'Antoni type of offense work because he have all the pieces that he need to be able to apply the type of pressure that they need? Because last year we didn't see it work well because you think about Westbrook, he can't shoot. He's a one-dimensional player, so you play him a certain type of way. Now you got to play all three of these guys honest. And I think that Jared Allen works better with these guys than the old kneecaps of DeAndre Jordan. You need somebody that's going to get up and go with these guys and basically be a JaMale McGee that's going to be a pogo stick just catching oops and lobs and putbacks.
Well, that depends, Bart, if you still have Jared Allen by the time this trade is done. You may not have him. He may be an asset used in the trade for James. But I would say that this can't be the old-school Mike D'Antoni way of Houston. If that's the case, then they're just going to be another version of Houston. I mean, I think that's still good, but I don't think that wins you a world championship. This has to be a blend of what Steve Nash wants to do. And everything I've known about Steve, spending time with him in New York, spending time with him in Brooklyn, is that I think, Steve, there's more of a continuity. Like, if there's one guy that had the ball in his hands a lot, that was Steve. But now we have James and Kai and KD together. Like, there has to be a little bit of that blend of that Golden State offense with that Mike D'Antoni offense. And if that's the case, man, I don't know how you don't have them the favorite to win it all.
I agree with that. I don't know how you don't. I agree with that. If you get them together, all the pressure is not on the players. All the pressure now is on Steve, on D'Antoni. Who else is on? Is Sean Marion now on that coaching staff? It feels like all the Phoenix Suns are on that coaching staff now. But it's basically going to be on them to get them to buy in, to make it work. And somehow it'll be all Joe Harris's fault if it doesn't work. But let me though, because I have to now ask you, if even with this just as a possibility, but knowing already what the Nets are going into the season with, which is obviously a healthy KD, which is the scariest thing in the league. If you're the Knicks, if you're Leon Rose, do you put a little more into, well, we couldn't get Chris Paul, maybe we're going to have to make that trade for Russell Westbrook? Do you feel like it almost compels him to do that? Because if you don't and you're going with a young team, boy, you become irrelevant real fast.
No. I don't go for Russell Westbrook. I stay the damn course. It's people may not like it, but I stay on the course of the draft and I keep building assets. I want to see Russell Westbrook in New York. I think it'd be a good fit for Russell. I'm not sure it'd be a good fit for the Knicks long term.
It's just like
I don't know if a lot of players want to play with Russell Westbrook at this stage of his career.
Yeah.
You just shot Santa Claus in the head, man.
No, all the joy from everybody. He gave you a compelling answer that it took
Jay Will. I can't handle the truth.
You know what I want to say? It took some you know what for
some
Jay
marbles.
To say that
marbles.
Because the easy thing to do, right? Marbles. The easy thing to do is to say absolutely get a great player. But it would take guts to look down the barrel of that and say, nope. Can't do it. Cannot let what one team's doing force me to make a move.
I love Russ. Russ is a competitor. He is a beast.
Yeah.
But like, just everything I've seen becomes about Russ. And for this, when you're young on a team that has not formed your identity, if you don't have somebody that is just saying it's about us all the time. That can isolate a team. That can make a lot of your young guys go in a different direction. And it's all about, if you want to keep R.J. Barrett, if you want to keep some of these young assets, like, stylistic-wise, they need somebody around them that's going to show them how they need to be in the next 5 years. I'm just not sure right now at this stage of his career if Russ wants to take the time, allocate the time to do that. He's done that before. He's been around that block before. I'm not sure that's the right move for him.
So what's the future for him then? Because you would think that if Harden is gone, that he's going to want out. Where potentially can he go where he can be a difference maker? Is he somebody that, you know...
Or you just let him be the man in Houston.
But being a man in Houston ain't the same as him being a man in OKC, because OKC was where he was,
where he was brought in at.
Yeah. That was his home. That's where they invested in him. They hitched their wagon to him. Like he's a stepchild in Houston. And he's only
Alan, let me ask you, is it crazy for me to throw out the Clippers?
Ooh.
Is it crazy to not? If there's another guy, like, look, we're talking about the Brooklyn Nets and Joe Tsai going over to Cap, right?
Who did he play? Who did he already play with that's on the Clippers?
Yeah. Paul Geezy.
I feel you, but it always felt like him and PG were really tight, though. I just didn't
that's
think
what
PG...
I mean. No, I mean, there's already a relationship there. Yes. And Kawhi is the one guy that is the one that you can't read, and you'd have to learn how to make sure that he still gets the ball. But does that team need a guy like that? Like, we saw
they need Rondo. They need Rondo.
Yeah, I can see Rondo ended up there too, by the way, Jay.
I can see both, though, Bar. I'm not looking at Rajon Rondo right now and be like, he's a thoroughbred that's going to play 35 minutes a night, right? Like, even if he can when you need him to. But if you need that pit bull, somebody that's going to push the tempo, make the game easier for you.
Yeah, that's
like, you need somebody to guide. Like, that kind of seems like CP3 going to Phoenix. Like, you're looking at Russ a little bit differently now if you're Doc, if you're that team moving forward.
I'll tell you what, Jay, the one thing I do know is that when you're back on with us on Tuesday, next Tuesday, the league is going to look a lot different.
Yes, it is.
We know it. Free agency is going to begin on Friday. You got the draft, which will be very interesting tomorrow, obviously, and then the trade season already underway. And Jay will be part of our draft coverage tomorrow night on ESPN. He's doing all his homework right now, trying to figure out a draft that no one has any idea what's going
to
happen.
And that's why I didn't habitual line stuff today. You know what I'm saying? I'm giving my dog a day off. You know what I'm saying?
Thank
you. I know you got a lot to do. You know what I'm saying?
A lot of days, man. I'll be ready to get fired when I leave the set with you.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So this is the first day we had, like, you know, he was on a 3-week streak where he either said inappropriate word or customer.
Or he hung up,
you know,
or he hung up quickly.
Exactly.
Wait. I know we're late. I can't help it. I've got to ask you this question because I can't believe I didn't ask it out of the gate. What would it take for you to, when someone offers you $50 million a year, to say, no, I'm all set?
Well, dude.
How bad do you not want to be somewhere?
This was a week ago. As soon as this thing came out, I said, I'm James Harden. I'm sitting there thinking to myself, I'm never going to win a championship here. I can't win a championship in Houston. Like, and all due respect to the coach, first-year head coach, first-year GM. I'm 31, turning 32. I'm supposed to trust these two individuals and this organization. Now, we wanted to get into the whole Steve Bertita thing, you know, going over to Cap, and I also heard some rumors about, you know, political alignments and things of that sort. Yep. So I think it's interesting, man. Like, every money ain't good money, Alan. You know what's good money, Alan? My investment in Brooklyn Nets season ticket courtside seats last year before.
Hey, can I be your plus one?
Too bad nobody can go in the building.
All day.
Jay, love you, man. Thanks. Appreciate it.
All right, guys.
I do want to dive deeper into this Theo Epstein story.
Please.
Because it is the timing is interesting, but he explained in his statement why he's choosing to do this now. He had a year left on his deal as, you know, basically running the Cubs, which he's done for the last 9 years. Yes. Clearly, he wasn't coming back. And he said the organization faces a number of decisions this winter that carry long-term consequences. Those types of decisions are best made by someone who will be here for a long period rather than just one more year.
Yeah.
Mm. And Jed has earned this opportunity, and especially the right person to take over this baseball operation at such an important time. So, with that in mind, Jeff Passan is reporting that Epstein also sent a letter to friends that he was able to get a copy of. Maybe he's a friend. And it said, next summer will be my first in 30 years not clocking into work every day at a major league ballpark. And then he said he does plan on having a third chapter leading a baseball organization someday, although he said, I don't expect it to be next year. Now, you would think that, you know, teams like the Mets or the Phillies would then feel like, all right, well, I guess he's out. Sandy Alderson has made it clear he has already started interviewing candidates for the president of baseball operations position. Remember, Sandy is not the president of baseball operations. Sandy is the president of the entire franchise. He's Steve Cohen's right-hand man. So Sandy's actually looking for someone to fill the role that Theo filled in Chicago and also in Boston. I mean, and so I'm asking you, Bart, does he sound like somebody that is just, look, I just want to take a year off and decompress? Or does he sound like somebody like, I'd like to take a year off, but if somebody wants to make it worth my while financially, then I'll just go there, meaning, well, you know, maybe the Mets.
Well, he's getting $10 million to do nothing, right? Because I'm assuming that he's still going to
be paid. Well, he's stepping down.
Stepping down, they're going to give him something. He ain't going on waivers, zero. Ain't nobody going to walk around with away from $10 million unless they can make it work. Like, listen, I know he made a bunch of money, but he's still $10 million. But $10 million is $10 million.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is, like, if I'm Sandy, I'm saying I can get an interim president of operations for a year. You know what I mean? I can figure it out. I can put a little bit more on my plate for the first year. And when you have opportunity to get somebody that's a proven, you know, builder of dynasties, and also he's the curse killer, you know what I mean? And the Mets team, like, they've been the curse killer. Like, you add the Mets to your stuff, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. They might just stop and say, you know what? You got your key to heaven. You can go ahead and go up now.
A Hall of Famer, right?
I know, but what more is there to do other than win again? This is separating himself from every, like, this Hall of Famer and his different levels to it. This takes him to a whole another stratosphere.
Whole nutter stratosphere.
You know what I'm saying? Like, let's take him all the way to the top, baby. Because now you attain Boston.
By the way, you attain
Chicago.
He's 46 years old. You know, you'd think he's been around how long? He's been around 20 something years. You'd think he's got to be like in his 50s by now, right? He's 46. Yeah. So if you're Steve Cohen, don't you? Like, even though he said this,
I'll give him a year off. He can come in and have the end of the season.
To the no. I am not. No.
No, what I'm saying is I would hire him, but I'm saying come as you please. Don't worry about it.
What?
Like,
no.
Do what you.
Nope.
All right. I'm
nope.
Hey, phrasing.
I absolutely, if I'm Steve Cohen and Sandy Alderson, I'm saying let's come to New York. Let's have this conversation. We're trying to win now. We're trying to get this thing done in 3 to 5. You've done this in other places.
You can do it from home.
You don't have to do all this heavy lifting by yourself, by the way. We're going to get you. Like, they just laid off 100 people with Chicago. Anybody of those 100 that you worked with that you want, we got them.
Your right-hand man.
Like, you tell me, and I'll lessen the load. Like, you might not have to do all the work that you were doing in Chicago, which is why you want to break. That's fine. But I want to bring you in now. Cohen, and I believe he would. You have to have a conversation. Let him tell me no. Make him tell me no. Give him an offer he can't refuse. This is the one guy that you would think out of everyone that makes the most sense for them to, at the very least, have a conversation with him. At the very least.
Everybody's got a price.
That's what I'm saying.
Money.
This is 100% if you're the Mets and you're Cohen. This is playing out perfectly for you. Exactly how you want this to go down. You said it. He's the curse killer. Well, what franchise in baseball feels more cursed than the Mets? Or has felt more cursed than the Mets?
Tigers. But never mind.
It's a fair point. Although they have won one before the Mets did. I don't know. I'm just, like I said, this when you see that headline, stepping down, you're thinking, all right, well, that's it. That's the guy. He's been the guy. Even before he stepped down, he was the guy you would think they would target. Now it makes sense that they should. Even though he's saying he wants to take that year off, he also is saying, oh, I'd very much see myself with a third chapter with another team to see if I can win again, but he wants to take a breath. I think that's more about, let me see what's out there and just see how badly someone wants me.
Yeah, isn't that what Daryl Morey said?
Yeah, Daryl Morey said the same thing. I'm going to take a year off. I'm going to spend time with the kids. Next thing you know, he's in Philly.
Forget them kids.
Man, anything could happen.
Let's get a little extra money in your pocket.
Cheese and sour cream on the taco.
This is Lunch Money.
All right, we are making money. We are going to make money because you know why, Anthony? It's our favorite time of the week. It's time for some action.
We need to have a sponsorship with Mac, with the Mac, man.
And we're not talking about action. It's time for some Maction. And Anthony, can you just check the records? Am I 4-0 in Mac picks?
Let's just bring up the numbers here.
First of all, we need
4-0.
First of all, we need a liner to this, and we need that next week.
Well, we need time for some Maction.
Exactly.
That's what we need.
And what we want is, we don't want anybody saying Maction. We want Anthony to drop time for some Maction. We want him to get in the booth and record himself and use his voice and digitally enhance our segment. This is the hottest one in the game going right now. We 4-0. You want to make some money? You listen to some Maction. You come here. We'll get you paid extra cheese on your taco. We can't talk about the NBA. We can't talk about the NFL. Maction, we batting 1,000, baby.
1,000. And the best part of it, it gives you a freaking reason to watch. Like last week, exactly. How close it came, right? Like how insane that finish was. Where it's the, what was it, the onside kick?
Yes.
And then they were going to take the knee, but no, not taking the knee. Fake the spike.
Exactly. What are we doing on a Wednesday? We contemplating if we're going to go to work on Thursday because we're sick of this. We hate our ball. You know, so, like, yo,
Tuesday
get,
night,
make some money.
Maction. We also got Maction tomorrow night, but we're going with Tuesday night Maction. It's a game on ESPN. That's the first game we're going to do here. 8 o'clock, ESPN, Kent State against the Akron Zips.
Oh, I'm saying, who's an Akron? I'm about to say you can go with the James Harrisons versus the, who's from Akron?
I don't know. Oh, man. I'll tell you what, though. This game is the one that I'm feeling a little something. Because you'd think Kent State at 2-0 should go in there and just blow the doors off Akron, right? Should just blow the doors off. But Akron is like an up-and-coming program. They're trying to build a little something there. They got a young team, and they last week were actually pretty competitive.
Statement win.
So they're feeling like, you know, each week they're getting better. Like Joe Judge, like they're fighting Joe Judges to get better and getting better. So while this spread is Kent State laying 27, everybody.
27.
Like I said, I got the spidey senses of tingling. I did a little bit of research. I'm feeling like I'm going to take Akron and the points. I'm not saying it's going to be a close game. I'm just saying it's not going to be 27.
And Marvel, that's you right now.
What did you just say? Who's the Marvel dude in Marvel?
The Marvel dude, like the magician dude with all the spells, the one that had the 1,000,000,000,000 scenarios in which they can win. It was only one, and that's what they did in the Ender's Game. You know what I'm talking about. The cape, man, and do all the karate stuff, man. You already know.
I'm just letting
the lady
you go.
Took the Hulk's soul, man. You reminded me of him right now, man. You in your bag is basically what I'm trying to say. Doctor Strange, you know what I'm saying? You in your bag, man. You in your bag. That's what I was trying to say, but I messed the whole segment up, man. It's all too good.
That's funny.
All right, so we're going to take Akron, and we're going to take the 27 points. That's an ESPN game, 8 o'clock. The other game tonight is Bowling Green, and they are hosting Buffalo. And I've told you about this Buffalo team. Something magical about them. Jared Patterson, keep an eye on running back. NFL.
Khalil Max.
Buffalo has been smoking team. I mean, they 49 points against Northern Illinois. 42 against Miami of Ohio. They have a top 10 offense. They put up numbers. Bowling Green. Bowling Green just gave us 62 points last week. 62. Oh, yeah, that happened. So Buffalo is laying 31 in this game, and they're the road team. But ain't nobody at Bowling Green going, hey, you want to go to the football game tonight? It's a Tuesday. Ain't nobody doing that. Nobody.
Are they even allowed?
I don't even know if they were allowed, you wouldn't go. Okay? I'm taking Buffalo. I'm laying 31. I'm believing in the Bulls. There you go. That's what's happening in Maction on a Tuesday night. And this portion of the show is driven by your local Lexus dealer, Lexus ES, now available with all-wheel drive. Giving you control and confidence, take on almost anything. Experience amazing. See a Lexus dealer. Bar, before we go, let me ask you about this story involving Antonio Brown.
Yep.
And the fact that he destroyed a camera. It was before he signed with Tampa, but still, more issues surrounding him. Does it concern you? Does it worry you? Is there anything about that we should keep an eye on? Or do you think he'll be able to finish the season with Tampa?
Yeah, he'll be able to finish the season, no problem. Just concerning that, you know, he was supposed to be with Tony Roberts, supposed to be in his zen moment and space and stuff like that. TB12, I'm sure they were having those backdoor conversations that he was going to vouch for him, and he still was not able to make the right decision. So it concerns me a little bit, but, you know, he'll make the season out because, you know, Tom needs him to. And, listen, they won't get rid of him. They'll give him as many chances as he needs. They only got to deal with him for another 7 games.
Okay.
But, you know, back to our little thing, because I know we only got a little bit of time.
Yeah.
You know, so we're going to come in with some time for some action. But okay. Then at the end, when you say what you think is going to go right, we're going to go with the Chris Tucker. Write it down. Take a picture. I don't give a You know what I'm saying? Like for everybody out there hating, like, oh, yeah, you said what? No, don't, I don't care.
Okay.
Write it down. Take
we're
a picture.
We're producing on the air as we speak. All right, that's good. I like that. That's perfect.
We got it. That's called filling time.
Yeah. Well, let's take Travis. I can't see where he's from, but let's take Travis real quick. Wants to talk some action out of Jersey. Travis.
Alan Bart, what's up, man?
What's up, man?
What'd it do?
What's up? I heard you said you're 4-0 in some action.
Yes.
All right. Well, I'm 3-0, so you got a little competition.
I like it.
So you like the picks? You like
How
the
do you feel
tonight?
About my picks today? What do you think? What do you think of me taking Akron and taking those points?
I'm taking both overs tonight because all they do is just score.
My God,
but last week I had Eastern Michigan, Western Michigan, and Central Michigan in the 3-team parlay and hit it. So
well
give me the
done. Well done.
So, Travis, thanks for the call.
He's right. You always take the over.
So when he called the bookie and he said, how you want that? You say straight cash, homie.
Straight cash, homie. Although, again, Bowling Green can't score. I don't know, man. It's hilarious. Boy, I'm sorry. Anthony got me into this. Because, you know, the middle of the week, it's like there's no NBA yet. There's nothing else being, you know, there's nothing on TV. So you got Tuesday and Wednesday where there's sort of nothing happening before you get to Thursday Night Football. Now, all of a sudden, I'm like, my wife's like, what are you watching? I'm watching that Buffalo game last week. I'm going nuts. She's
like
what
name
are you
somebody
watching?
On the team. I don't know nobody on the team.
I
don't
have
matter.
No idea who that is. Like, that dude stinks.
You're like, yeah. You're like, yeah, 12. Hell yeah, 12. That's how you do it, 12.
Oh, man, it's crazy. All right, Bart, big day tomorrow. NBA draft, lots of coverage. That'll be on tomorrow's show. I'll talk to you then.
Holla.
Don't miss Bart Scott and Alan Hahn. Weekdays at 11 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN.